kickoff live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
And good morning to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Paul Dottino here with you this morning, and we are live in East Rutherford, New Jersey at the Giants training facility as they begin their off-season program. Yes, folks, the off-season workouts, the strength and conditioning programs, they all begin today. And you know what that means? That means the draft is right around the corner. That means that mini camp is right around the corner. And then sooner or later, we'll be getting to training camp at the end of July. And then it's the Hall of Fame game when Michael Strahan goes into the Shrine in Canton, Ohio, as the Giants take on the Buffalo Bills to open the 2014 NFL preseason. But for now, we've got some things to get out of the way. Like I said, the offseason program starts today. The parking lot is full. And when I say full, I'm talking about busting at the seams. You know, there have been a lot of guys who are on this roster who have been trickling in and out, doing their own thing over the course of the last many weeks. But now it's kind of official. This is when everybody, all the new guys, the guys who came in via free agency, the guys who may have been left over from last year's practice squad, last year's roster may have been out of town, they're all in town today. As the Giants reported this morning, I guess guys started coming in somewhere between 6 a.m. and 7:30 this morning to hit the weights, to get their workout regimens going. They're having breakfast inside. Some of the guys taking a quick coffee break before they get back in for the second round of weights. And this is what it's all about now. The foundation is built today. This is where the Giants begin the 2014 season. Now, you got a bunch of guys who've already done their quick morning workouts. They'll be doing it in sessions. There's like a morning session, a really early morning session. Then there's a break. Then there's another morning session. They try to get out of here like by lunchtime or so, a lot of these folks do, because they want to do all the lifting and all that stuff, the physical activity things in the morning when they're awake, when they're energized, like me. Energized in the morning. A lot of people don't believe that, but it's true. Laugh out loud, right? In any event, it's 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, or hashtag Giants Chat as we take you through this morning's Big Blue Kickoff Live. My question to you folks this morning is, of all the newcomers who have joined the Giants since the season ended last year, who is the guy that you are most curious to hear from? The guy who may have a good story, the guy who may have leadership skills, the guy who maybe just can't wait to come here and prove something to everybody, maybe a Rashad Jennings, who's had a pretty decent time in the NFL so far, but you know what? Durability questions have certainly followed him wherever he's gone. And so Rashad Jennings would love to prove he's a full-time back, would love to prove that he can be part of a winning team for a change after being with the Oakland Raiders, who have lost a lot of games over the last few years. Might it be him? Might it be, I don't know, Robert Ayers? Perhaps he comes in and says, you know what? This is the year that I get double-digit sacks. I don't think so. He's more of a run-stopping defensive end. But maybe he's got something to prove. Maybe you want to hear something from him. So tell me which of the newcomers, which of these new faces on the Giants that you're most curious about, that you really want to hear something from them that's going to kind of tickle your fancy and get you going about, hey, this is a guy who I can't wait to see during the preseason, during training camp. I'm going to want to read a lot about him because I think he could be an interesting player for whatever reason. So let me know. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. All right, let's get right to the phones then. We'll start with Roz from Lodi. You're first on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Yeah, this is Big Roz. JPP, more like Lazy G. This guy, he stink. 2 sacks, 2. My daughter could do better than that. I will not tolerate junk this 2014 season. That starts with Big Loud number 90. Showed me nothing in 2012 and 2013. 1 year wonder, always running his mouth. Don't tell me, show me. Number 2 bonehead on this team is Jerry Reese. We need offensive line. We got blank 3 times in the last 2 years. I threw a brick into my TV after the Seattle game. Protect your quarterback, genius. I've been a fan since 1987, since the Hogbog days, and I can take losses but not shutouts. That's what gets me heated. Great job picking a quarterback in the 4th round.
Well, I'll tell you what, Roz, you got a lot of things going on right there. But first thing I want to say is I hope you got yourself a new TV because you're going to want to watch some of these games this season.
Well, this year his lazy butt better perform. Enough said.
Roz, I think I'm just going to let you go and enjoy your breakfast. How about that? Let's go to Gerald from Virginia. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
How are you guys doing today?
We're very well, sir. How are you?
Oh, great. That was great. Hey, listen, I'm looking forward to all those guys coming out there proving that they want to be a true Giant. But what I'm really calling you guys about is that out there in Giant Nation, if you guys really got your hopes set up on Ebron, I don't see it happening. Over the weekend, I ran into E.J. Manuel, Sr. and Jr. But for Buffalo. And from our conversation, they got their heart set on Ebron. Now, unless we make a move, which I doubt at 12, because we should stay right there, I don't think Ebron's going to be there.
Well, I'll tell you what. If they want him, they can have him at pick number 9. I've got no issues with that whatsoever. You know what my philosophy is. I'm old school philosophy. I'm not Jet X philosophy, which needs the hands or the receiving tight end as part of your offense. That's not the style that I'm looking for. I would prefer Troy Nicholas from Notre Dame. I've told people that for months now. He'd be a great pick for the Giants in the 2nd round to help fill that spot.
Can he block?
Troy Nicholas? Holy smokes, absolutely. The man's a moose.
That's all I care about. As long as he can keep Eli upright, that's what I'm looking for.
Well, you're talking what? 6'6", 6'7", 270 pounds. Oh, yeah. Now, they're going to need to refine his technique a little bit. He needs a tad of polish, and he doesn't exactly have breakaway 30-yard downspeed threat, which is why he'll be a 2nd-round pick and won't be a number 1. But you want to talk about the guy who's the most complete in this draft and the guy who certainly has the most upside as a blocker, not to mention with his size to be a tremendous red zone threat. Troy Nicholas is your guy.
Sounds good to me.
Appreciate the time.
To the show, guy. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Gerald. Interesting that he mentioned Buffalo, because when I was on NFL Network about a week and a half ago and they asked me to pick the Giants selection at number 12, and I got the first 11 in front of me, and I'm looking, and it's like, oh, my God, Jake Matthews went to 9 at Buffalo. And I said to them, I said, whoa, timeout. TD was on, Terrell Davis, and also Molly. Malikiram, they were hosting the show that day. I said, look, if you're going to let me, I'm trading up 3 spots. I'm taking Jake Matthews. I want – look, this guy should be gone to the first 5 or 6 picks. I mean, he is easily the number 1 offensive lineman in this draft. Now, I get what you're telling me. You got to tell me about the kid from Auburn. I love Robinson as well. But Matthews, to me, with his pedigree – He would be my number 1 pick as far as the offensive lineman in this draft. He's more pro-ready. Love his technique. He would be my guy. Excuse me. So anyway, when I heard that Matthews went to number 9 at Buffalo, I said, let me trade up 3 spots. I will give you a number 3, and I'll even throw in next year's number 5 or 4 if I have to. Let me move up to 9 and grab Jake Matthews, because if he's there at 9, I want him. In any event, I couldn't do that. The rules wouldn't let me. So I had to pick at 12, and I took Zach Martin from Notre Dame. And you guys all know all about Zach Martin because I've been talking about him for months. Timothy, you are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello. Hello, Timothy. How are you? Timothy has decided to go away. So let's go to Montel from Miami. Hello. How are you, sir?
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Very well.
Hey, Hey, yeah, I just wanted to say the guy I want to hear from the most is J.D. Walton. I want to hear from this guy. I want to see how his recovery has been. It's been over a year now, so I want to see how he produced on the field. But also, like I said before, I feel that we have our starting five offensive linemen right now on this team. Right now. We don't need an offensive lineman in the first round. I say we can draft a guy in the third round, maybe fourth round, to sit behind the guys that we have now and learn.
Okay, now hold on. Give me a quick second here. Give me your starting five. Who were the five guys in their five spots opening day?
Beattie, left tackle.
Yeah.
Swart, left guard.
Yeah.
Walton, center. Chris Knee, right guard. And Justin Pugh, right tackle.
Okay, now hold on.
I feel those guys will be ready day one. They will be ready.
Okay, now hold on just a second, though. You understand that you're taking a gamble there because you don't know about Chris Knee. They're hopeful. They're optimistic. But you don't know that he's going to be available. You know, he's trying to come back from a whole slew of injuries. This guy's been beaten up now. And I think the Giants are obviously very glad to have him back. But it may be that Chris Knee, at this point in time, now he's going to compete for that job, and he may win it. But he may just be a backup at this point. He may not be able to go for the full 16. Maybe even if he starts game one, maybe by week five, maybe he's forced to be a backup because he just doesn't have the durability anymore. You have to be prepared for that.
And that's where we have John Jerry, who's a great pass protector.
I don't know if I'd ever use the word great and John Jerry in the same sentence. That's a little bit of a stretch.
But he can pass protect very well.
He does.
You know, and he's durable. So we can draft a tackle in the third round, starting caliber tackle in the third round.
Well, I was going to add. I was going to add one other caveat. J.D. Walton missed a whole year because of an ankle now. And you're ready to just give him that spot?
No, I want him to compete, but we don't have to draft a player that high. We can draft the center in the fourth or fifth round.
Well, I'm with you on that. And Richburg is a guy a lot of people are connecting with the Giants because they've worked him out.
Absolutely.
And I have no problem with that, okay? But understand this, that if you're going to, quote, count on a J.D. Walton and a Chris Knee to start opening day, that also implies that you believe they're going to be able to start the whole rest of the season as well. That could be tricky. I mean, J.D. Walton really hasn't played in a whole year and a half, and Chris Knee is badly beaten up. You got to be careful. That's all I'm saying to you. You got to be careful when you start plugging these guys in because they're not video game players. They're real flesh and blood, and durability is a concern here.
I totally understand that.
Okay.
I just feel with Giants re-signing Chris Knee and he restructuring his contract and those things, why would you do that if you knew you had a really good chance of not playing the whole year? Why would you do that? Just retire.
Oh, no. Here, Chris Snee wants to go out on his feet. He doesn't want to go out on injured reserve. This guy's got a tremendous amount of pride. And quite frankly, he's got some leadership skills which this offensive line could use as they rebuild. And he himself has said he's more than willing to come, that's why he took the pay cut, to come back and become a backup if he's got to be. Look, the last thing Chris Snee's going to do, and I'm telling you this right now, if Chris Snee winds up having physical problems over the summer or during training camp or during the preseason, I'm going to say this right now, and I have not spoken to Chris in a few weeks. He would rather retire than go out there and hurt this team. He saw what happened last year, and he realizes that in a banged-up condition, he is not of much value. He knows that. He does not want to wind up on IR again. I think he would rather retire than go to injured reserve. I really do. He's got a tremendous amount of pride. He wants to help this team win. He wants to get on the field. He's not the kind of guy who's going to want to be, you know, struggling and having people shake their heads and say, oh, geez, look at poor Chris Snee. That's not him.
Oh, okay. Well, all right, then. Did
you
great.
Have another point? I didn't want to cut you short, but, you raised some points, and I wanted to make sure that, you know, you understood that there's a flip side to some of what you said.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, go ahead. Did you have another one?
No, sir. Thank you, Paul.
Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate the call. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. We will go to hashtag Giants Chat and get some the Twitter comments we have here. Brandon Diggs says, report, Dolphins prefer Kwanjo over Zach Martin. Well, here's the thing about Kwanjo. He's not quite as polished as Zach Martin is right now. He'll need a little bit more work. Martin is a more pro-ready kind of guy. In addition to that, there's a belief that Martin's going to be able to play tackle, guard, and maybe even center in the NFL. Kwanjo is not that guy. Kwanjo is believed to be a tackle. And depending upon how you value versatility, you may want to put Martin ahead of him. You may not. Again, you know, when people talk to me about Luan, let's take the off-the-field personality issues out of this. Luan is a tackle, okay? That's all. He's not capable of playing guard. He's not capable of playing center. He does not have the physical tools to do it. He's also too big, quite frankly, to be playing center. You can't be that large and play center. You need to be smaller. So versatility, for me, is a tremendous asset and one of the reasons why I like Zach Martin so much at 12. We also have here, Brandon wanted to follow up by saying that Kwanjo is going to go in the first round. It's very possible. I don't think there's much doubt about that. He's one of the premier tackles in this draft. Big Blue United says, I want to hear from J.D. Walton. He is the biggest unknown, and right now he is slotted to start right away for Big Blue. Well, at the moment, he has the inside track to be the center. But until he gets out here and starts doing things, nobody really knows. And JROC says, I'm ready to see how R. Jennings becomes the running back we needed in the past couple of years. Okay, let's go back to the phone calls. And we have Miguel from Phoenix. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you, sir?
Pretty good, pretty good. First-time caller. I don't really get to call in much because I don't really wake up this early usually.
Well, that's 2 hour time difference, right?
In the morning over here.
Yeah,
three hours.
3 hours in Phoenix it is. Oh my.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? You could always listen online, right? You could always listen online later on when we archive or even the podcast. So you could always get.
Yeah, I listen to the podcast on Stitcher almost every day. You know, to get my day started and stuff like that, because you know I got to keep up on the Giants news, even if it is delayed some. But I just wanted to touch on a couple of things. I know that last week we were talking about who we needed to show up this season to be impact players, to, you know, to step up on the team and be the players that we need them to be. I heard a lot of people talking about, you know, our offensive linemen and some of our defensive linemen, but I didn't see very many people giving DeMontre Moore enough credit. The dude never, I mean, he got some playing time, but I didn't really see chances for him to shine. You know, he got a couple of blocked kicks, you know, stood out a little bit, but a lot of people expected too much out of him for his rookie season. I didn't. I kind of just played the back burner with him, kind of wanted to see what he had physically before I put a tag on him. But I definitely think DeMontre Moore, if he steps up this year and JPP is back, you know, at 100%, on the line, we are going to be defensively pretty strong.
Well, the Giants really need something out of him. And let's just take one quick second to review DeMontre Moore's rookie season. The positives, there is no question. The man has incredible tools, the kind of tools that should produce double-digit sacks in this league. He's extremely quick. He's extremely agile. And coming off of the edge, wow. I mean, he is really a force to be reckoned with. And we also, as you say, we know because he got a piece of a couple of kicks on special teams, he can give you something there too. So those are the good things.
Like, I see him being like the guy from I believe he's off Seattle, that they ranked, you know, they had this team-up thing on ESPN a couple of days ago where they had, like, the two best defensive linemen on each team.
Okay.
There's this guy from Seattle, I think they ranked them number one in the pass rush, but he gets off the line. I don't know his name for sure, but
we talk about Bennett?
The line really fast. I'm sorry?
Were you talking about Bennett?
Probably. Yeah,
here's what I will tell you. I didn't see that report or that ranking, so I'm not going to go there. But here's what I will say. There were negatives to DeMontre Moore's rookie season. Quite honestly, he played like a rookie. which meant
he
needs to grow up.
For sure.
He needs to mature. He made a lot of rookie mistakes. As I cataloged it, and I'd have to go back and pull it out of my stats. You know, I keep a lot of my own stats that you don't see in the papers and stuff. I've got my own coaches type of stats. I think DeMondre Moore last year, if I'm not mistaken, committed 4 penalties on special teams that resulted in first downs for the other team. And those are really bad things because that's going to get the coach really very, very unhappy. So that's something he's got to clean up. The other thing is, quite honestly, as a young rookie, his work ethic probably wasn't where they really wanted it to be. And so that's one of the reasons he didn't earn more snaps. And then obviously we all know about the hammy and the shoulder. He wasn't physically 100% either. So those are the things you got to weigh when you project what he might do this season.
Yeah. So, I think with those two stepping up, our secondary is pretty much solid right now. I don't see where we – I mean, I see where we could improve. Obviously, you can always improve. But, I don't really think we'll take any corners in the draft. I'm pretty sure the Giants, if these corners and safeties show up this year and do good, I believe that they'll re-sign them come next year. You know, the guys that are on 1-year deals and 2-year deals and all that stuff.
Yeah, I don't think you have to worry too much about the back 7 on defense. I would agree with you there.
Yeah. Hopping over to the draft, I don't really have specific picks because every time I decide to go down that road, I always get just bum-rushed by, Mr. Reese. He's just all over the place. I can't gear what he's going to do. So I honestly think we do need offensive weapons because I don't think Victor Cruz is going to be the only guy on the field catching passes. I'm not so sold on Reuben Randle and Jernigan. I mean, they're all right, but they're not. I don't see them being impact players unless they show me something, in the preseason
could
or something
be.
Like that.
Randle could be, again, another young player who needs to grow.
Yeah, I just don't. I mean, and then Jernigan, he came in at the same time to Victor Cruz. He's had his time, to shine and things like that. So. I see the Giants giving them one more chance, but I mean, if they don't do something just absolutely phenomenal this year, I don't see them holding on to either one of those guys.
I think Randle is certainly in their long-term plans. I would disagree with you there. Jernigan, I still think he's in a show-me mode. I mean, remember last year when he did well the last 3 weeks of the season, it was because he was the slot guy when Cruz was out of the lineup injured. And that doesn't bode well for Jernigan because if his best work was done out of the slot, he's going to be behind Victor Cruz sitting on the bench all season. So that doesn't help him very much. And we already seen his return skills, and they didn't turn out too well after he got here to the pros.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. But we do have a good return game. Supposedly, I think this year is going to be pretty good. We'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, well, Holiday and Demps should help out, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I hope. Keep my fingers crossed, knock on wood. The other thing I wanted to touch on was the running back situation. I mean, yeah, we got Rashad Jennings and we got Peyton Hillis behind him, but how much does Peyton Hillis have in the tank? And if we're running off of, David Wilson, if we're high hopes for him coming back, that leaves us only one running back at 100%. I mean, I don't understand where we're going with this. But we definitely need two running backs at 100%. I honestly don't have a lot of faith in Hillis. I mean, yeah, he showed up a couple of times, but when he got injured, we had to go get other people. We had to take, Jacobs and we got all these other tried to fill in the holes. And I don't feel like putting my whole backup season on his shoulders. I really think we need a developmental guy to come in. I don't care if it's in the draft or if it's in free agency after the draft. I really think we need somebody young, a young gun, to get behind, Peyton Hillis and Rashad Jennings and kind of take the reins because David Wilson, he's a question mark would be an understatement. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. And quite frankly, I would get a running back in here in the first 4 rounds of the draft. I don't know if I'd go further than that, but I think in rounds 3 or 4, you might be able to pick somebody up. Of course, you're questioning David Wilson. He would be one of those guys, when I put out the show question earlier, about who do you want to talk to and find out, what's going on with him this year. David Wilson's probably one of those guys. Even though he's not a newcomer, The Giants need to find out exactly where he's at. Okay, that's one thing.
Yeah.
And then the other point to your question about in terms of Peyton Hillis's durability, he's had a couple of concussions. So you're right.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't have untainted durability. His track record shows that he is a hard player, and as a result, he gets hit pretty hard, and you can't always count on him to stay on the field. And the other guy that you didn't mention at all, and it's an interesting problem because he's so talented, that's Michael Cox, who has so many tools. But, quite honestly, as a rookie last year, he showed that he was very raw. And I don't know how much the Giants can expect to coach him up. I'm sure he'll be in competition for that third-string running back spot. But if they draft like someone in the third or fourth round, it's going to be hard for him to win a job.
Yeah. You know, and I was going to touch on Michael Cox. Michael Cox, he was one of those guys that I was kind of like, I didn't know what to expect of him when they did put him on the field. You know, there's a lot of guys that you can kind of expect, you know, all right, he might do something good this time, or, you know, you put a little bit of faith in him. Him, it was always a question mark when he got onto the field. So I didn't really know if it was going to be a good thing or a bad thing. So in his respect, I would just say he just needs to, like you said about DeMontre Moore, he just needs to grow up.
Well, tremendous speed and good size, and quite frankly, all the measurables, he has them. I mean, he could be, if you just looked at him, again, as a video game player, he'd be really good.
Yeah.
But the problem is he's not a video game player, and he's still a young gun, and he's raw, and he's got to mature, and he's got to understand the pro game. Look, it's quite a jump from UMass. You understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he came from a small school to the big league.
I mean, that's why he went from Michigan to UMass, because it was a little too much for him to handle.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm just going to touch on one last thing, and I'm going to leave you with that.
Go ahead.
Take your answers off air. But the other thing I wanted to touch on was the offensive line. Will Beatty, dude, he just has too many question marks for me. He's lost all trust or all confidence in me. I really can't say that, you know, this year, you know, on the Giants aspect, I hope that he has a good year and comes back, but I'm not ready to gamble my entire season, because without Eli on his feet, in the pocket, feeling safe, we're not going to have any plays, even if we do have offensive weapons. Even if we do get, you know, these big caliber guys, you know, hoping for the best, we get Evans or Ebron. I feel like those guys are top 10 guys. They're going to be gone by the time we pick. But, you know, if we do get one of them, we won't be able to utilize them because Eli won't be on his feet very long. You understand what I'm saying? We won't be able to use that deep threat. And I feel like we need offensive linemen to keep him up. Justin Pugh did a great job for his rookie season, and you know, I was totally happy with the way he performed. I mean, he had his ups and downs, but he's a rookie. I can't expect too much out of him. And then, you know, on the other end of the ball, we have, what's this guy's name?
Beatty and Pugh are your tackles.
Yeah, but the other guy, the guard.
You mean Schwartz?
The guard is coming
Thurman,
off the surgery.
Young fella? Oh, you mean Snee?
Yeah, Snee. That guy. I mean, him.
Four-time Pro Bowl player. He's better than that guy. Although we got to
see. Yeah, I know, but he's just such a question mark, too. I mean,
sure he is.
I don't know what to expect.
Miguel, I'm going to let you go, but let me just say this. You're singing my song. You're talking offensive line. You're singing my song. That's what it's all about for me, always has been. Got to win the game in the trenches, or you don't win on the scoreboard. It's that simple. Thank you, Miguel. Appreciate the time. Rolando from Fresh Meadows. Is that Florida?
No, Fresh Meadows. That's Queens, Paulie.
Oh, but it says it looks like FLA here on the sheet. Okay, never mind. Rolando, how you doing?
Good, Paulie. How you doing, Paulie?
I'm okay.
I've been waiting for you to come back, man.
Well, you know, hey, it's the off season. They got a lot of things that are going on around here, and I'm able to pop in whenever possible. You know that.
I hear you. Tell us what's going out there, homie. Tell us what you know behind those doors that we can't get into. Come on, Paul, let it out.
Well, here's the thing. here's the thing. The guys didn't come in till this morning. The off-season training program begins today. I just got here to the facility about an hour or so ago, and, you know, players have been coming in since a little after 6 a.m., so there's really not much to tell you right now because the guys are just getting back from the off-season. I will tell you this. You want a really good, cool piece of information?
Yeah, give me a nugget, homie.
All right. I give you a piece of information. Last week, I was talking to one of the NFL veteran personnel guys who I know very well, and he was talking to me about the Giants, and obviously, you know, we got into a conversation about the offensive line. It always does when I'm on the phone. You understand that? It's the way I'm built. So we get into the offensive line conversation, and he said to me, you know what? I think you're right. I think they absolutely need to go offensive line in the first round, and more than all the reasons that I've given him. See, when I talk about the O-line, I talk about the fact that I want to move Pugh inside. I want Zach Martin to be the new right tackle at number 12. And you know what he said to me? He said to me, don't be surprised, okay, if the Giants take an offensive lineman at tackle with the intention of understanding that Will Beatty, with his injuries, with his eye surgery from a couple of years ago, with the fact they didn't perform last year, don't be surprised if the Giants do something over at left tackle. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, look, they're hoping that he can come back to 2 years ago form when he only gave up 3 sacks. That would be great. If he does that, the Giants can win. But he said, you saw what happened last year, right? I said, yeah. He said to me, Will Beatty is not a left tackle in this league. I said, he's not. He said, I'm telling you. What do you give up, 11 sacks last year?
He said, 11.
I said, okay, but that's worst-case scenario, isn't it? And he goes, look, you can't live by best-case scenario from 2 years ago when he actually performed well. He said, what I saw last year tells me he is not a left tackle. He said, if I were the Giants, and this is something that I'm really not thinking about. I know some people have mentioned it on the message boards. I'm really not thinking about this. He said, if I were the Giants, and believe me, I don't know the Giants are thinking this, but this is somebody around the NFL who I respect for a long time. He said to me, I would consider about maybe trying to move Beatty out of that spot. Is there any way that maybe he could try out as a guard on the team and compete at guard? And can you get somebody else to play left tackle? And I said, well, look, the way it's constructed now, I don't see how they could do that. First of all, they're paying him too much money. He's being paid as a left tackle. That's first. And second, I don't see him being athletic or physical enough. And I say athletic. I know he's got good feet and he's pretty slender. But I don't see him being able to get out there on the pull if he's going to play guard. I just don't see that in his game. He doesn't seem to have that energy when the ball is snapped. He needs some of my juice, you know what I'm saying? and the other thing is, if you're going to flop him to right tackle, which is what some people have said, he's not a mauler. Your right tackle needs to be a road grader. He's got to be a tractor trailer. He's got to be a bulldozer. So that doesn't work for me. So I'm just telling you, this was presented to me by an NFL guy who I respect. He's like, maybe Will Beatty could be on this team, but maybe he's not the left tackle. So there's something that, if it happens, don't be shocked because there are people around the NFL who think it.
Paulie, I spoke to John on Thursday.
Well, that's your first mistake. Go ahead.
Trust me, I make a lot of them. I spoke to John on Thursday, and on my first round, it was Zach Martin. For that reason, there was a twofold reason. One, in case if Beatty doesn't make it, we have the insurance. I'm praying and hoping that he does, but yet I'm hoping that if Beatty does make it, then we have Zach Martin, whether it's right guard or right tackle, more right guard, so he can take over for Snead when he retires. Your basic question at the beginning was, who I like to hear from?
Yes.
It's three, bro. I want to hear Walton, Beatty, and Snead. I'm one of the George Young era as well as you are. And one of my things were always, one of the things that Young always said is, go with the strength of the draft. That was one of his things.
Yep.
And always another thing was, his second fold was, know the draft this year, but know the draft next year, just in case you can't get what you're looking for this year. I mean, next year, you get them now.
Well, here's the other thing. Hold on. There's one other thing you're missing here, and it was a high priority for George Young, and that was, you got to have the elephants up front.
Yes, the Giants.
Yep.
The Giants. There are only so many big people on earth that roams this earth, and you like to have them on your side. Is that right, Paulie?
Well, either, Parcells used to call them the boxcars.
Mm.
Elephants, the dancing elephants, or the boxcars. Either way, you got to have the big, stout guys up front, and that's critical to your success. Hey, my man, I appreciate the phone call.
Okay, let me just say this. Would you be upset if we picked Donald on the first round? And I'll let you go. Take care, Paulie.
All right, thank you. Orlando, that's an interesting question. Donald's issues are, simply put, he's a bit undersized. Now, he's a tremendous athlete. He's strong for his size. He makes a ton of plays. He penetrates. He finds the gaps. He finds the seams. He's a terrific player. The question becomes, A, do the Giants really need him if they feel they're rather stacked, at defensive tackle? And then the other thing is, depending upon how many plays he'll be used every week, how do you feel about his ability to hold up over the long haul against the run in the NFL? Donald is less than 290 pounds. And there are some people who think that these 330-pound centers and guards in this league, on a consistent basis, will beat him up, wear him out, kind of drain his gas tank to the point where he can't be the player that we all know he's capable of being. Again, over 16 games in an NFL season. Now, maybe in a year or two he can be, as he bulks up and, understands how to pace himself and, is able to enhance his durability. I think Donald is a terrific player. Would I be a bit surprised if they took him? Yes. Would I shake my head and say it was a horrible pick? No, if only because I do think he's got a lot of talent, a lot of skills that you just can't teach. So I would just say, hey, there's a terrific first-round pick, terrific prospect, blue-chip player, tremendous skills, tremendous talent. Let's see what the Giants do with him. Again, it's that whole best player available versus the needs and your depth chart. When you weigh the entire equation, I'd be surprised if they picked him. I understand he'll be on the board. I understand they'll probably consider him. I would not personally make that pick if I got to make that phone call. 201-939-4513 or hashtag Giants Chat. Quickly, a couple of internet notes. Harry Carson fans says, Paul, sounds like your contact is making the case for Lawan for the Giants at 12. As a matter of fact, the gentleman I did talk to, the NFL veteran personnel guy, said to me he thinks Lawan would be an outstanding left tackle in this league. He said, but let me give you a caveat here. I know nothing about his background or his personality profile. And I know he's got some off-the-field issues. And I know at times he's sloppy. As I've said many times before, he gets over-aggressive and gets sloppy on the field as well. His personality traits sometimes leak into his play, and that's why at times he did not dominate like he should have at Michigan, because he gets sloppy, he gets a temper. That's the asterisk there. This guy said to me, in terms of his tools and his measurables, he's got everything. He'd be a great pick for the Giants, but there's that other part to his personnel folder you just don't know. It's something that's got to be talked about. Let's see. Excuse me, we have JT, who just says they are crazy. I'm not exactly sure what he's talking about. Oh, he was saying Kwanjo over Martin. That's crazy. Dolphins are crazy. Okay. Brandon Diggs says he just wants to point out Kwanjo has knee issues. I think they're minor. From what I've been told, it should not really affect his stock in the draft. It's something they believe that they can manage and take care of. He is still a very well, high thought of offensive tackle prospect in this game. Big Blue United says Denard might be a nice pickup in the first round. And let's see. Edward Koch says, what areas of need in the draft are pivotal for the G-men, and who is a very good replacement for Mr. Reese if he is on his way out? I don't know about B because, quite frankly, he's here. And he's going to be running this draft. As far as area of need, we all know the Giants need offensive line help. They need wide receiver help. They need tight end help. And they could use another running back as well. Here's a question. If the Giants don't extend Prince by May 3rd, does Justin Gilbert join the shortlist at 12? So says Night Moves New Jersey. That's an interesting thought. I think Prince will get extended because you can give him that extension, pick up that option, and then during that time frame, you're allowed to negotiate with him a long-term deal. So, yes, I do think that's what's going to happen. By the way, the extension would be worth about $7 million, I understand it, if they have to give him that one-year extension as part of his rookie contract. And let's see. Kevin says, this is Versetti 44. Aaron Donald doesn't sound like a bad choice at 12. He would be a great replacement for Joseph, plus help the pass rush. A.J. Marshall wants to know, Walter Thurman, is he going to be suspended for 4 games? Who else can play the slot? The funny part about it is they got the kid from the Bears. Oh, and why am I losing his name? This is horrible. I'm losing it now. Zach Bowman, right? Yeah, Zach Bowman. Zach Bowman is certainly capable of playing, and Hosley's going to be competing for a job during training camp as well. The Giants have some answers there. I wouldn't worry about that. Joshua Cole, J. Cole Blue says, Martin, even a good player, was said to project mostly to the guard position. He says Kwanjo is a pure left tackle. Well, again, that's part of the issue. Do you value versatility? I do. I mean, where would the Giants have been the last 10 years without David Deal? I mean, please. Where would the Giants have been the last 3 years, 4 years, without Kevin Booth? I just throw that out there, folks, because I know the answer. And I think you do, too. 201-939-4513. Timothy from Jackson, New Jersey, home of great adventure. Hello.
Hi.
What's up?
Westfield, what about Jason Pierre-Paul? Will he rebound this in 2014? Become one of the best defensive men.
Well, here's the thing. We're going to let him go. I appreciate the thought. You want JPP to be one of the best defensive ends in the league. He went to the Pro Bowl a few years ago. The Giants want him to be that player again. I don't know if he will be. That remains to be seen. I'm told he's in great shape. He looks good. His attitude is right. Again, another guy who's got to grow and continue to grow and become the beast that we know he can be. I'll say this, okay? I will say this about JPP. He's entering his contract year. And if he watched what happened to Akiem Nicks, okay, if he had his glasses on, if he had his contacts in, and he got a clear picture as to how Akiem Nicks blew a huge multi-million, multi-year contract with his performance last season and had to settle for a very measly rate and a one-year deal, I believe, with the Colts. Did he not? I think it was a one-year deal. Maybe JPP should get on the phone and talk to Akiem Nicks and ask him how he feels about what he gave away last season. Now, again, Akiem Nicks had some injuries, just like JPP has had, and Akiem just did not seem to overcome them as well as he needed to. Will JPP do it? Is he capable of doing it? I think the Giants certainly hope so. Now, is he going to show that fortitude and make it happen? You know what? He better try his hardest. Otherwise, the Golden Goose is not going to be there at the end of the season. Ed from Surf City, you are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, Return of the Jedi.
How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing good. I've agreed with you on both facets in regards to offensive line taking Zach Martin for a while. And I said the same thing to John, that this offensive line and offense collectively has more question marks than the Riddler's jacket. I think.
Hey, I like that.
Yeah.
It'll be this bad.
I think it's good to get some linemen from the draft and have a lineman for 10 years as opposed to getting a veteran who's had injury issues and back to that Riddler jacket. And you can now say if you have Martin and Pugh on the line, you have two versatile linemen who can play any position in emergency situations. And if you follow this team in this game, offensive linemen do go down. Now, I don't do as much digging into the draft as some, so who would you take in these later rounds if you were to go with a wide receiver, a tight end, that is?
Well, you know, it's funny. I had some notes here that I wrote down over the weekend. And, you know, I've said all along that Arthur Lynch out of Georgia would really be an outstanding pickup for the Giants in the fourth round. If they don't get a tight end earlier than that, he's a blocking first tight end. Doesn't have great speed. He's basically a Jake Ballard type. And I look,
that's a good thing.
I was just going to ask you, would you have a problem with another Jake Ballard?
Not at all.
Okay, well, Arthur Lynch should be there in the fourth round. I think he would be a terrific pickup for the Giants, again, if they don't wind up taking one earlier. I think Troy Nicholas of Notre Dame is, to me, the best tight end for the Giants. However, they may not want to go second-round pick there, you know, because that's what it's going to take. And quite honestly, there's even a chance, I hate to say this, there's even a chance that Troy Nicholas is not there at 43. That's possible, too. So anyway, that would be my dark horse tight end pick for the fourth round. Now, there's a kid I'm going to give you, a wide receiver, and I'm going through my notes here. Let me see if I got him. I think I got him in the fourth. Oh, Martavis Bryant out of Clemson. He's going to probably be a second rounder. If he drops to the third, I think he would be a terrific third-round pick for the Giants. Again, are they going to take a receiver before that? I don't know. But if you want to go to round three, I think Bryant would be a really, really nice pickup there. But that's, again, here's the problem. There are four rounds of wide receivers available in this draft, from what I've been told. Guys that can step in and help almost immediately. So it's like, how high do you really want to pick one if you're pretty sure you're going to be able to get one on the second or third day? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why it's so hard to if Evans drops to the Giants at 12, here's the problem. I absolutely am infatuated with Evans. I mean, how can you not be? He does it all. And in addition to that, he's a terrific run blocker in the run game. He's exactly what the Giants could use. Tom Coughlin would just love this guy. But the problem is that your biggest need? And can't you get other productive wide receivers who will help your offense in the third and fourth rounds? Sure you can. So do you really want to use the number 12 on Evans? As much as you know he's the best receiver of this draft, at least in my viewpoint. I know some people think Watkins is, but I'd rather have Evans.
Yeah, in this draft at number 12, you're getting a good player, no matter what position.
Should. Oh. You should. And by the way, you sound an awful lot like Henry Hynoski. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Henry Hynoski. Ah, that's a good thing, I guess.
I hear you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate the
Bye.
Call. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Shakes from Baltimore. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
What's going on, man?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm glad I got on right now after you said what you just said about Evan. Because, on that note, we eye to eye. You know, Evans is a beast, man. But see, this is where I'm kind of on a flux with you. Because you say, and let me side note this real quick. Martavis Bryant is someone that I've been screaming out for 2 to 3 weeks now. I've been screaming out for Martavis Bryant if we don't get Evans in that first round.
Well, see, here's the thing I like about that. First of all, you show me high football acumen. I think that's really cool. I like that. I like talking to guys who know what they're talking about. And then second of all, I like the fact that you're willing to dig and to go against what might be the majority opinion, just because there are so many people who want to jump on bandwagons and just want to go with the hot name all the time. I appreciate the fact that you've thought enough to look deeper into the process.
Oh, yeah, man. I got to do my due diligence, man. I this is what I do, man. I love it. This is what I do, man. I want this for a career, so I'm trying to do it, man.
Well, that's really cool, man. And I'll tell you what, I hope the Giants are listening, because if they could get Bryant later on in this draft, I think there's going to be a lot of excited people to see him play here.
Oh, yes, because he's good. He's very good.
Oh, he's very good.
My thing with that was that you say that, you know, why pick up Evans if you can pick up somebody in the third, fourth round? You know, if Evans is there, you have to get him. Because he's the sure shot. That's why. You know that he's going to give you what you need. You need that dominant wide receiver, and he's that dominant wide receiver. Now, Martavis Bryant is going to be a dominant wide receiver one day, too. But maybe Evans will get it a little bit more quicker. Maybe. I don't know. But
He's certainly stronger. Evans is certainly the stronger of the two guys, and he's a much better run blocker, too. And, you know, yeah. I could tell, because you know your football, you appreciate the fact that wide receivers also help big plays in the running game. And a lot of people don't understand that. But you know what?
Yeah.
That 5- and 6-yard run turns into a 25-yard run if your receivers are making the right blocks. And the Giants of years past have had wide receivers who did that. Burris was good at it. Callaway was good at it. Amani Toomer was good at it.
Thank you.
David Tyree was very good at run blocking.
Yes. Thank you. You're preaching. You're preaching, man.
We're singing the same song, brother.
Yes. Yes. But where we don't see eye to eye is the offensive line. Only because I feel like you don't do that in the first round. And if you do that in the first round, you got to go tackle. And that's telling me that you made a mistake last year in resigning Beatty.
I hear you, man. I hear you. But here's the problem. You did it. And regardless of whether or not you think you want to take it back, you can't. The ink is dry on that contract. He's getting his money. He's getting his years. And you and I both know that is going to cripple your salary cap if you throw him away.
Exactly. And that's why I'm saying let's give him one more year, but have some insurance behind him. That's why I like the Jerry behind him. He can play tackle. He can play guard. Like you said, you like the multiple offensive lineman.
Jerry as the backup left tackle better than Charlie Brown?
Yeah, I do. But I'll be happy with Brown having to play a game or so if one of those goes down, if Beatty goes down or something like that, or Jerry don't show us that he can play, then, I'm fine with Brown going. And that's what I'm saying. We got a lot of guys that Jerry Reeson brought in for insurance-wise. You know, if Beatty don't work out, we got a couple guys.
Well, you know what I like, Shakes? You know what I like? I like the fact that he brought in guys like Brown, like Walton, like Jerry. I like that. But here's the thing. To me, guys like Charlie Brown and John Jerry, those are the kinds of guys who upgrade the back end of your offensive line depth chart. They don't upgrade the challenge for the starters on that line. That's where the problem is for me. That's why I still want to draft an offensive lineman in round one. Because to me, all that Jerry has done is he's upgraded the depth chart. He hasn't upgraded the frontliners. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. I understand what you're saying. But, you know, picking up Schwartz, you know, and let's see what Walton can do.
He is Schwartz is a frontliner. I should take that back. He is a starter. I apologize.
That's exactly. So it's Bobby's here, Paul. You feel? So we okay. Now, if we can get one in the third or fourth round, then we set in the on the line. I'll be happy because I feel we'll be all right there now. But we need our weapons. We need a wide receiver. We need our tight end. Please give me Evans. please give me Nicholas. Let's go. Oh, last thing I want to say, because J-R-O-C, as you called him, J-Rock, me and him are partners, and, you know, we're going to have a podcast show this summer. I don't know if we're going to bring it out maybe earlier than this summer, but the website is up, www.bbnuncensored.com. So check us out, and please show support, and thanks for taking my call, bro.
All right, Shakes, good to talk to you. Hey, I'll throw out another offensive lineman, and this guy goes against my grain of versatility, but you remember way back when in February and March, before it became obvious that he had a bit of a knee issue, was Tiny Richardson out of Tennessee. Really like him very much as a right tackle in this league. And if the Giants should somehow, some way, just decide that, you know, they want to go third or fourth round and take a, quote, developmental offensive lineman, I'm not going to back off on Tiny Richardson. I'm a big fan. I really am. But, again, knee issues have forced him to drop a little bit, and it was kind of the cause of some lackluster play this year. He was a bit inconsistent, but my goodness, he's a boxcar type. And if they can check out that knee, and if he's okay, I like him as a prospect. Again, third or fourth round. Okay, let's go back to the phones. Keith from Kentucky, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hello.
How you doing, Keith?
I have an issue with, you know, everybody, you know, knocking Ebron. But, you know, I'm going to leave that alone because that's just my pick that I want. You know, that's the pick that I like. But the pick that makes sense, you're exactly right, man. It's I'm kind of, you know, fighting myself over this earlier, but you're exactly right. It's Zach Martin. You know, the questions on the O-line, you really just got to think about it. If BD goes down or he ain't playing well, what are you going to do? I don't really agree with moving Pew inside. What I say is move Pew to his original position and let him play left tackle and put Zach Martin as right tackle. I think Zach Martin, looking at footage on him, he might even be better than Pew at right tackle, actually. You know, Pew played pretty good, but I think if you put Pew at left tackle, I think he's going to do very well there, too.
You know what's funny? Before you go on, let me just give you this caveat. I know some people in the league who think that Zach Martin is going to be a very good left tackle, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Well, seriously.
Either which way is good.
I'm with you.
You know, so if you pick him up, and I don't think we're going to go that high at tight end anyway, you know, because regardless, if we have a busted tight end again, regardless how good we do, you know, Jerry's job's going to be in question. And if you're going to go on a limb and take Ebron, you might as well go on a limb and take Jace. What is it? From Texas Tech, Jace.
You lost me.
Amaro.
Oh, Amaro. Like No. No. You don't want any part of Amaro. You know why? He doesn't want to block anybody.
He doesn't want to block.
Amaro is strictly a receiving tight end. In fact, and I'd have to go back and double check my notes. I thought what I wrote down on him is that he never played in line. He was a slot tight end. He was a move tight end. He hasn't played any inline tight end at all. This is the last guy you want for the Giants.
Oh, that's garbage. But, you know, there's a plethora of tight ends in the second round. You know, and I think the Giants, if they want to go second round, I think that would be fine. But I don't think we're going to go first round, especially when the key thing is Eli needs to stand upright. Plus, Will Beatty, not only did he not play good, he got injured at the end of the season, and it was pretty serious. A broken leg is pretty serious. Being that you're a left tackle, you have to move, and you got to plant on that leg. You know, so what I'm thinking is maybe get Zach Martin, maybe a tight end second round, regardless who it is, because Eli could turn anybody into, you know, great if he has the time. But you actually got to understand, too, what rookie has actually started because the Giants wanted them to start. You know, Pew had to start because David Deal went down in the offseason. You know, I think Aaron Ross might have started, but we don't start nobody. I think at the beginning of the season, Kellen Davis will be your starter. That's just how the Giants do things. Rookies don't start.
You understand why, don't you? And you know why that is. Tom Coughlin believes
have to learn the playbook, right?
Tom Coughlin believes that every rookie has to earn their snaps on the field on Sunday. And that not only means that you know the playbook, but it also means that you show the maturity in the film room and the maturity and the intensity and the relentlessness at practice. Those are the kinds of things that earn you snaps on Sunday.
Okay, so I mean, so I just don't, I don't believe, it don't matter who we get, no matter what the need is, they're not going to start unless they have to, just like Peel.
Or unless, unless they just flat out beat out the guy in front of them.
Right, right. That too, and I
can't happen.
They
you know,
up on,
when they drafted to be totally frank with you, okay, I'm not speaking out of school. When the Giants drafted Pugh last year in the first round, okay, he was the only offensive lineman left on their board who they believed could come in and compete for a starting job right away.
What
they thought that he could challenge Deal as the starter at right tackle. And that's what they wanted. They wanted a guy who was going to provide legitimate competition. They didn't know for sure if he would win it, but they wanted somebody who at least had a chance to become an instant starter because they knew they needed to upgrade.
Right.
And
well,
that's the philosophy they had
with him. Do you think they have gave up on the JPP of tight ends, Adrian Robinson? I don't think they have. I think they've given him one more shot.
Based on his production to this point, I don't know that I don't know that another chance is warranted, but based on the pick in the draft and what they said when he came out of school, you could understand if they did give him one more mulligan.
Right. Okay.
Did I say that nicely? Did you read between my lines?
Yeah, I got you.
Thank you. Appreciate the call, my friend. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, or hashtag Giants Chat. We'll take it, I don't know, maybe another 20 minutes or so. Why not? Your calls are coming in. We might even go to 11 o'clock because you guys really want to talk Giants football. Remember, today is the first day of the Giants' official off-season weight training and conditioning programs. And the bottom line is, I tried to ask you folks at the beginning of the show, our theme today would be which one of the players is the guy you're most anxious to hear from. If you had a chance to maybe talk to just one guy and say, hey, look, I'm curious, I want to know what you're thinking, I want to know what you think you can do for this team this year, who would it be? And I don't know, we've gotten some people who wanted to talk about that. Most people still want to talk about the draft, which, of course, is May 8th, 9th, and 10th at Radio City. Ed from Houston, you are next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hello, Paul. Good morning to you.
You too.
Hey, just that was a perfect lead-in because that's what I wanted to talk about. The guy I wanted to ask you about was Mario Manningham. What kind of physical condition is he in right now?
Manningham, we are told, has rehabbed very well. He's not at 100% yet, but is getting closer, and they believe he will be ready for the season. Now, time will tell. As you know, ACL surgery, some guys seem to make it back a lot quicker than others, and then some guys, even though they make it back, they're at significantly less than 100%. Enough to get on the field, but also enough to where you could see they're not the same player. Now, if Mario Manningham, by the time they get to July, and then the preseason starts, and then the regular season starts, if he's able to be the Mario Manningham that the Giants know, and he's not that old, let's face it, he should still be in his prime as a player, then they'd be thrilled because Mario Manningham is the kind of guy that Giants offense needs. They need a speed guy.
Yep.
But you know what? Right now, what do we know? We just know that he's a guy coming off of ACL surgery, and we don't know. Really, is the bottom line. How close to 100% is he going to be? We just don't know that. I will tell you this, though. The Giants thought enough to at least take the chance and give him a one-year contract. It is a low-risk, one-year minimum. Don't get me wrong. They were not going to get hung up with salary cap issues, especially because they didn't have a lot of money to throw around. But they did think that the risk was worth bringing him in.
When did he suffer that injury?
Oh, it was the end of the Manningham. I want to say the end of October? I'm trying to think. You know what? I do have a computer here, so allow me to just pop that up for a second. Well, why not, right? I mean, look, I'm not going to lie to you. We do have computers available to us in the office, and so I should probably just take a look.
Hey, the other a little while ago, you were talking about if Thurman isn't available.
Okay, first of all, the ACL was in December of 2012, but then last year I know he got nicked up and he missed games too. So the original ACL was in December of 2012. And let
all right,
me just
so
follow,
year and
up.
A half. Looking about a year and a half on the ACL, and then when he was injured again, was it a re-injury to the ACL or was it something else?
No, he got nicked up last season. In fact, as I'm looking here, he caught one pass on December 15th against the Buccaneers, and that was his only reception for the month of December. In fact, they didn't even play, it looks like, after the Buccaneers game. So, yeah, so I know he got nicked up down at the end of the season. And you know what? I'm going to have to get up on all this medical stuff. Last year he only played in 6 games total. You know, I know he was banged up. Let me hold on. You know what? You really got me going here. I haven't done a whole I've been doing so much work on the draft and some of the new guys. I kind of consider Manningham a known commodity. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it seems like our guys go to the West Coast and nothing happens. You know, Manningham went out there, and Jacobs went out there, and Jacobs was very happy to come back, and he gave us what he had left last year. But Manningham, nobody's really talked about him, and yeah, he seemed to be coming around when he was with the Giants the first time. I know he had some issues with route running, but he has a lot of athleticism. I was just curious if he re-injured the ACL or if it was just something else.
Okay, they're saying here... He had some illness. He missed some practice time with illness in December of 2013, also with a sore knee. But again now, he is over a year out from the ACL. So, as you know, as anybody who follows the NFL knows, they always tell you that first year back after the ACL is the year where you might only get to 75 or 80%. It's that second year where you got a chance to get to 90 or better. So this would be that year.
Yeah, it would. Well, he could be the wild card. You know, here we are talking about getting some speed on the outside, and if he can come back and be a little more polished than he was when he was here the first time, that could really help the receiving corps if they don't go high first or second round looking for a receiver.
Well, I think they've got to go and get another receiver, whether it be a veteran like a Miles Austin or whether it be somebody they want to draft perhaps in the third or fourth round. I do think they need somebody else to compete for the receiving spot on the depth chart here. I don't think they have quite enough as they go into training camp.
Even if Manningham is healthy going to training camp, you still think they need to add one more?
Well, I do. I think they need either a big play guy. You know, if you want to think that that Randall's going to fully develop into a big play guy, and he's shown some flashes of doing so, then maybe you want somebody who's a little bit more of a skyscraper and a steady guy. But maybe you don't think that Randall is going to make a lot of big plays. Maybe you want another speed guy. I don't know which way right now the Giants are looking, but I really do believe they are going to bring in another receiver because you can't put all your eggs in the baskets of Manningham coming off of a knee and in the baskets of Jarrell Jernigan, who still hasn't proven a whole lot as far as I'm concerned, and in the basket of Reuben Randall, who continues to develop but has not yet reached his full potential. I mean, I think it's only fair to say that those three guys have perhaps small question marks on them, but question marks nonetheless.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to see him get Mike Evans, even if they have to trade up a couple of choices.
Well, Mike Evans is, again, a super stud of a receiver. And I can't tell you otherwise. I mean, the guy's going to be all universe, and it's going to be very tempting to want to take him if he's there at 12. And I certainly would not criticize the Giants if they do. But again, you know me, I'm old school. I want offensive line.
Yeah. Hey, one more question: if Beatty doesn't pan out at left tackle, and the Giants do take an offensive tackle with the first pick, is there a chance that Beatty could swing over to right tackle, move Pugh to right guard, and then stick that first-round draft choice at left tackle?
It's not out of the question. I mean, Will Beatty has played both tackle spots in the NFL before. Again, the problem with that is you usually want your right tackle to be a power player, and Will Beatty is a finesse tackle. You can get away with a finesse tackle at left tackle because he's a pass protector. Usually your right tackle is your strong side for the run. and you want that guy to be a bulldozer. You see?
Okay.
And that's really not Will Beatty's game. But the reason that you may be able to get away with it, and I put a very big M in the front of that word maybe, if you've got a blocking tight end. See, now, if you're going to tell me Troy Nicholas is lining up next to the right tackle and Will Beatty's going to be playing right tackle, I could live with that. I can scheme that. It's okay.
Okay.
You follow? That's another reason why
I
want no part of these hands tight ends, these receiving tight ends, these Generation X tight ends that so many people want to throw at you. I'm not going there. I need a blocking first tight end, but that's me. Okay, again, I'm old school. I'm George Young, Tom Boyster, you know, Bill Parcells, Vince Lombardi. That's where I'm coming from. So,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. If the Giants take an Ebron, if he's there at 12, it just shows you that they are indeed going to go to a Generation X offensive philosophy, and that's fine. If that's the way you're going to go, then you better get a receiving tight end. I just would not go that way.
I'm more like you. I believe in the old ball control and go back to what the Giants did best before. But what I would really like to find out, and this would be entertaining, get you on a show, get John on the show, and let John push Ebron, and you push the more traditional offense, point, counterpoint. We can sit back and listen to you two argue.
Well, that's not an argument. That's a one-sided fight. There's no point in even going there.
You're a good one. You're never at a loss for words, Paul. I appreciate
you. You have a good day, my friend. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. You have a good week. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Jay from Brooklyn, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, John?
Uh-oh.
I just had a...
Uh-oh. You want John, you're going to have to call back tomorrow.
Oh, wow. That's it, John. I'm sorry about that.
That's
sorry
okay, Jay.
That.
Go ahead.
Just a couple things. One thing, you said Jason Morrow... I'm going to kind of gripe with you about that.
What's he got?
He had 12% of his snaps from inline versus 87% of his snaps from
He did have 12% inline? Okay, and the thing, and that's all I said before. I didn't want to be 100% sure about that. I said I'm pretty sure that he is not an inline guy. But even 12% of his snaps inline is pretty horrible.
Yeah, I mean, Texas Tech, they run a spread.
Yes,
they don't
do.
Really use an inline
That's
tight
correct.
End as much. So
it's not their style.
I think like you said, if you're going to Generation X, you want to receive a tight end. I think in the second round, a Jason Mauer makes more sense than the Ebron in the first round because you can get more value picks in the first, like a Donald or a Gilbert, because I'm still uncertain about our cornerback position. And that kind of ties into the other question, who would I want to talk to? I would want to talk to Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie because I want to know, hey, are we going to get a Philly prospect that you were, or are we going to get the Arizona guy that you were, or the last year Broncos guy that you were? Because I don't know which cornerback you're coming in as because you needed people to get on your case to produce. Now, we're hoping that Tom Coughlin and Antrell Roll could be on top of him to get him to produce, but we don't know yet. So I'm still shaky about the cornerback position. And being at 12 in the first round, do you think it makes sense to look at a Justin Gilbert in that round? And I'm going to let you go with that.
Well, I'll just say this. You're absolutely right. If one of those premier corners are there, you have to consider them. I don't know that I'm going to draft one, but you'd be right to consider them. How could you not? Premier cornerbacks in this league are just worth their weight in gold. And you know that Prince has that option coming up. You know, the Giants need to decide by the first week of May before the draft whether or not they're going to pick that up. I think they will. And you make a good point about DRC. DRC has had a very inconsistent career. The good news is when he was a Pro Bowl player with the Cardinals, he was very tight with Antrell Roll. And I think that is a very significant factor here for the Giants because Roll is here. He helped get him here. They're teammates once again. He's going to push him. I think the combination of Roll and DRC is going to be very healthy for the Giants. They were Pro Bowlers out in Arizona. I think they could do just the same thing here in New York. Certainly the Giants are hoping so. That's why they paid DRC the kind of deal he got. Mike from Virginia, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I got 3 points for you. The first one is just because you mentioned DRC and role helping DRC. I think that combination with him and Beeson, that's what like what set the defense off last year. It was just great communication. It was like they're playing college again. They're having a lot of fun. I think adding another former teammate of role really responds well to people he's played with before.
Yes,
it seems like. And so adding another person like that is good for the defense. I think it. But one of my main questions was Walter Thurman. I read a stat the other day that said that in his 70% of his coverage career spent in the slot. In that time, he allowed zero touchdowns and like 0.9 yards of reception.
I have not seen that stat, but I will tell you it is known throughout the league that he is a very good, accomplished, and steady slot corner. That's what his rep is.
Better than that, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's his rep. I didn't see those stats, so that's great if those stats are accurate. But there's nobody that will dispute his ability to be a slot corner in this league. The Seahawks were very happy to have him do it. And I'll be honest with you. Again, I know that they're coming off of a Super Bowl, and they had a lot of different numbers they wanted to juggle, and they've got some guys in the next year or two that are going to come up for some big-time numbers. I'm not really sure why they didn't put up more of a fight to keep him.
Right. My last question was about the centers in the draft. I wouldn't suggest a first-round pick, but someone down second or third. I read about this guy. I think his name, I can't remember his name. I think it was Martin for USC, the center for USC. Do you
Marcus
know?
Martin.
All right. I just want to know your thoughts on him, and I'll hang up and listen.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Do you want to draft a center who is going to have to learn the pro scheme while everybody else on this offensive line is trying to learn this new offense as well? That's kind of tough. Now, I agree with you. I think the Giants certainly need some help and fortification there. They're hoping that J.D. Martin is the guy. They signed him to a decent contract to come in here. You want something crazy? I'm going to tell you something crazy. I've been thinking about this for weeks, and I haven't had a chance to be on the show to really talk about it. I would not at all be disappointed if the Giants had Chris Snee become the backup swing guy at center and at guard. I think Chris Snee could do it. And what I would like to do, okay, if I'm the Giants, what I would like to do, I want to draft Zach Martin. I want Zach Martin to be my right tackle. I want Justin Pugh to be my right guard. Or if you want to flop him, put Martin at right guard and put Pugh at right tackle. Leave him there. That's fine. But those are my two guys on the right side. I'm going to have J.D. Martin backed up by Chris Snee at center. Okay? Schwartz is my left guard, and Beatty is my left tackle. And now I got Jerry and Brown as my two veterans swinging behind him. And then I've got one other offensive line spot for whoever can win it. Can Herman win it? Can Brewer win it? Whoever. Whoever wants to win that other spot, let them fight it out. Let them try to win it. Mosley, maybe Mosley wins it. Fine. That's kind of what I would like to see happen, to be perfectly honest with you. And that's not a knock on Chris Snee, because if he's healthy enough to do it and he can compete and he can win a starting job at right tackle, at right guard, he deserves to have it. But right now, that's kind of what I'm thinking. And I'd love to see Chris Snee. I know he could do it. He was the emergency center last year for a number of games when the Giants were running out of offensive linemen. And then, of course, he wound up getting hurt and couldn't play either. But the year before, even, he was the emergency center as well. I'd like to see maybe him be the backup guard center that Kevin Booth was for some time here. That's what I'd like to see. Okay, let's go to Len from Columbia. You're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
I'm well, man. How are you?
Good, good, good. Listen, first thing I want to say is, 10 years from now, when Chris Snee gets into the Hall of Fame, I'm volunteering to drive the bus to Canton. But that's 10 years from now. I'm not sure what we think is really going on with this Chris Snee. And I'm going to say experiment. Let me tell you where I'm coming from on this. I'm not a big proponent of starters becoming backups on the same team. When you throw in massive salary cuts on top of that, I don't get it. This whole scenario with Chris, it to me is rare. I'm not sure where they're going with this.
He's a rare guy, Lane. Okay. Seriously.
Well, I know he's a
very prideful guy. He's got his father-in-law coaching the team. He's a giant through and through. He's made a lot of money.
Yeah,
he can deal with this.
He will never, Paul. He will never be released from this team.
He doesn't have to be.
He may not make that roster, but he's either going to retire or go on IR and take the year as severance pay. But I don't think
he would do that. I think if he can't physically do it, I think he'll quit.
Okay. Well,
He's got too much pride.
But what
Chris
I'm saying
is a good man.
I don't think so. No doubt. I know you go back a long way, too, and I'm just going to throw this out there. Probably the best offensive guard we've ever had on this team. Right, just or certainly top three. We could debate some others, but
top three for sure.
Okay, so I just see this is we're not going to cut Chris. He's a unique guy, but I'm not sure what we think we're going to get out of this guy.
His body will tell him when it's time to go, and the Giants too. Really, his body's going to do it.
From a wage and salary administration standpoint, Paul. I mean, you don't. I don't like guys who were starters on the same team. Now I understand the thing with the two linemen we started, the guy from New Orleans and the guy from Miami, where they were starters on other teams and they become backup on our teams. But starters on our team who become backups and then taking massive pay cuts on top of that, I don't get the thinking there. Listen, I want to hear from David Wilson. I think David Wilson is key, Paul. Geez, I hope this guy can play.
Yeah.
He's that valuable. I think I've been saying this to John. I think the big difference in this on the new offense, Paul, we're going to throw a lot of balls to the running backs. I just think that's where we're going to see the biggest change. And boy, Wilson can be. I just think he can be dangerous with that in that play. But you know, Wilson and Jennings together, but. If Wilson gets pup-listed and goes all the way to Game 7 of the regular season, geez, we got to go out and get another running back. Now, I don't know if that's even in the draft. We got to get a veteran. I mean, Peyton Hillis did a nice job for us, but I really don't want Peyton Hillis to be our number two, Paul. On the Manningham deal,
I got a lot of stuff I got to talk to you about after this is over. Go ahead.
All right, let me just say one thing about Mario Manning. Look, for me, and for most Giants fans, just about every Giant fan, it's hard to say anything bad about Mario Manningham. I mean, you know, God, we won a Super Bowl with this guy, making one of the great catches of all time.
Yes, you did.
In a game. I mean, so you can't say anything too bad. But I think Manningham has got, to make this roster, Manningham has got to beat out Jernigan for the number three receiver on this team. If he can't beat out Jernigan to be the number three, he can't play special teams, Paul. I don't see where he fits past that.
Okay, now I got to stop you. First of all, Jernigan can't play special teams either, so that's a wash. And
only one of them could be a number three. You can't have two guys. Paul.
But see, I totally disagree with you. I don't think they're fighting for the three. I don't think the number three is here. I think the number three may be yet to come. It could be Miles Austin. It could be a draft pick.
Okay.
I think the spot you're looking at could easily be the number four spot.
Well, if the draft pick, well, then we're still battling Jernigan, huh?
Well, Mario Manningham could be fighting Jernigan for one spot on the roster. That's possible.
Okay.
And that is a no contest for me. Okay. Stop the fight. Throw the towel in. It is over. Mario Manningham hands down over Jarrell Jernigan. If you looked at those resumes, it would not be a competition.
Okay.
And I'm assuming that Manningham gives you at least 80-85% on his knee.
Okay. Well, tell me what you think about the Wilson thing. How valuable is David Wilson to us?
All right. Here's the problem with the whole running back situation, and we outlined it earlier. Michael Cox is still too raw, at least at this point, so you can't count on him. Hillis has had some injury issues over his career, including concussions, so you don't know how much you're going to get out of him. And by the way, he's a tweener. Hillis is a tweener. He's the kind of guy who might be able to bulk up a little and play some fullback for this team. Okay? You're forgetting one key element when you talk about Wilson being an important part of the passing game.
Okay.
What do the Packers do with their fullback?
Well, they throw to the fullback a lot.
That's right. They throw to the fullback a lot.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
The winner of the Heinoski-Connor battle may wind up catching 25, 30 passes this year. It may not be David Wilson getting those passes. It may be a fullback getting those passes.
Okay. I'm smiling when you say that. And let me just add this, Paul. If the fullback slot is going to be that important, maybe we should keep two fullbacks.
Well,
it's just an idea.
Here's what I'm thinking. What I'm thinking is Connor battles Heinoski for the traditional blocking fullback role. Now, I don't know for sure if they're going to draft a running back or not. I suspect they will, probably by the fourth round. If they do, perhaps Hillis, he's a swing guy now. He could back up as a halfback. He could probably grow into that fullback's role. He's got good hands. Hillis can catch the ball out of the backfield. You could use him if you wanted to as the receiving fullback.
Okay.
Now, the other option you have here, again, these are all things you have to throw around.
You can't do them all.
You're going to have to pick one.
That's right. I agree.
The other option you have is, and I'm not necessarily in favor of this, but you could bring Bear Pasco back as the H-back. I don't think that's going to happen, but there's a chance he comes back for a minimum salary on the back end. If that happens, Bear Pasco as the H-back could wind up catching 20 to 25 balls.
I think we're going to throw the ball to backs a lot, Paul. I think that's where the big difference is going to be. Hey, listen, can I change the subject for just a minute to be able to get the point
before
in?
You do that, I want to address the Snee thing for one second.
Okay, go ahead.
I think you're right. Yes. I think in most cases, you don't get quality production out of a longtime starter who then becomes a backup on the same team and takes a huge pay cut. I agree with your philosophy with a broad paintbrush. I agree.
Okay.
However,
it's Chris Snee.
This is Chris Snee.
Okay.
And I believe under these circumstances, I have no fears, no worries, no concerns.
Okay.
It will work.
Okay. That's good. Let me just mention one other thing. Thanks for giving me the...
Yeah, you're last on the show, Lynn, so go ahead. Finish up.
Okay. We got approximately 75 people on the roster as I count now. I think I'm accurate with that. With
I haven't done people. The last count, but go ahead.
Okay. I think there's 75. We can get to 90 by the opening of training camp or any time now. We can't go over 90.
Correct.
But we're going to get
90
seven,
is the max.
We're going to have seven draft choices, and we're going to have some undrafted free agents.
Sure.
You know, when you look at the depth chart, Paul. Today, when you look at the depth chart.
Okay. Let me call it
geez,
up.
Center. And the defensive line. I mean, Paul, where are we going to get? I know we may be talking about camp fodder, but we can't go through even these OTAs and five preseason games, and expect Patterson and Jenkins and Kuhn and Big Hank, who I think has a stamina problem to start with. Expect them to not be gassed by the time we get to December.
Whoa. So you don't think they're going to bring in another DT or two for camp? Sure they will.
Okay.
There's no way Tom Coughlin is opening camp in late July with only those four DTs. No way.
Okay.
Even if
we think they may be just camp fodder, there's got to be bodies. There's got to be bodies.
Exactly. Come on, Glenn, you've been watching this game long enough.
And the same at center, wouldn't you think, Paul?
No, I'll tell you why. Here's the thing at center. The Giants need to figure out who their starting center is going to be and who their backup center is going to be. Now, they would love J.D. Walton to be the starter. That's what they'd like to see happen. But you've got to find that out. Now, behind him, who are your backups? Dallas Reynolds is still here, I believe.
Right.
He's still under contract. We know he has played in the NFL as a center before. So he's here.
Yes.
I'm telling you, I think Chris Snee might be able to do it. Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe, and I don't know this for sure, maybe Eric Hermann takes some snaps at center during training camp. Maybe the Giants say, you know what, we don't want to mess with Snee. Let him alone at guard. See if he can win the spot. But we'll give Eric Hermann a chance. Because as far as I'm concerned, that center spot is wide open. You got Walton is the favorite to be the starter, but not locked in. And then behind him now, you need at least two guys. One guy who's
yeah.
truly a backup center, and then a
yeah.
third guy who's a swing guy. You got to have
yeah,
three guys on your roster who can snap the ball.
Yeah. Right. I'm a little concerned about that. But those are the experiments, the kind of experiments where you say, listen, on that defensive lack of depth at defensive tackle, you could say the same thing about defensive end, Paul. I mean, you got the four guys. Somewhere those undrafted free agents are going to have to be D tackles and D ends.
But that's okay.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
That's okay.
Right.
Those guys
okay.
are not going to make the team. They're summer.
Right.
They're summer players.
Okay.
It's, so
hey,
it's
Paul,
not really relevant.
Have,
all right, man.
Hey, Paul. I got to have something to worry about in March.
I understand.
Len,
I got adjudicate too. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take
bye-bye.
Care. Bye-bye. All right. Bye-bye. That'll wrap it up for today on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We are here Monday to Friday. 9:30 at 201-939-4513, your hashtag Giants Chat. Fun show today. Got a lot done talking about the offseason program, which starts this afternoon. Actually, already started this morning. And the NFL draft coming up on May the 8th. All right, folks. We'll see you again tomorrow. Bye-bye.